Greetings, everyone. My name is William Porter. Welcome to this edition of Storytelling Time. This podcast is sponsored by Every.Black Entrepreneurs Podcasting Network. Our foundation scripture today comes from 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter and the 7th verse. And it says, "For we walk by faith, not by sight." The Storytelling Time podcast this week continues with chapter 2 in the book, Heaven Can't Wait, or Can It? The sequel. The title of the podcast today is, "I Will Walk Again." Many of you may desire to become an author. The following are some suggestions on becoming a professional writer. Our story for today will start after these comments. So obviously you have to prepare. Well, the same is true when you start on a journey of writing a book. Just like an actual trip someplace, any place, you have to first determine where you're going. In a similar way, when you're writing a book, you have to first determine what you're going to write about. And I might add, what you're going to write about can be summarized in the title that you select for your book. On an actual trip, not only do you have to decide where you're going, but you also have to plan for your destination. That is, what you're going to do once you arrive, how long you're going to stay, as well as consider the kind of weather you might have to deal with, not to mention lodging arrangements. Well, in writing, you do the same thing. That is, once you decide what you're going to write about in general, as expressed in your title, you have to decide on the kind of subjects that you're going to write about, in particular, as expressed in the name of the chapters you develop. We talked about this before, but I think it's worth repeating some of the principles that will be the key to your success. If you remember, I mentioned that there are two things you need to do to get started being an author. First, you need to develop a title for your book. Now, your title will identify what you generally will write about. Second, you need to develop an outline, which is your description of the particular topics that you will write about. These topics will become your chapters, as I just mentioned. And, of course, these chapters will ultimately will make up your book. We will start with our story after a break. Stay with us. Welcome back. The last time, we left Mincy, Maggie, and Fred alone with Matthew in his hospital room. They tried their best to encourage him, but he ended up giving them encouragement, quoting scripture about his strength in the midst of adversity. But it was time for them to leave when Mincy told him, "Listen, Matthew, make sure you follow the doctor's orders, and I'll be back to see you tomorrow. It's getting late, and we're all very tired, and I know you are too. So sleep well, and we'll be going, but I'll be back tomorrow." Matthew replied, "Okay, you all can go home now and get some sleep." Then he asked the question, "And hey, Maggie and Fred, how are you two doing? I haven't heard from you much." Their silence was an indication that their main concern was for his health and not on how they were feeling at the time. Maggie ended up saying, "We'll find Daddy." As Matthew perceived their concern, he turned toward his wife and said, "And oh, one thing, Mincy, I'll get those icicle lights up for you as soon as I get out of here. Don't you worry. Oh, don't worry about that, honey, she said. You just get some rest, and like I said, you follow the doctor's orders, and you'll be out of here in no time. She tried to conjure up as much confidence as she could, and tried to convince herself that he'd be walking soon. I'm in agreement with that, Missy, Matthew responded to her encouragement. Then he also assured his daughter and son-in-law. And don't you two worry either, baby girl and Fred. I'll be up and out of here before you know it. With that, they all left the room and soon were outside. All three of them became emotional about what they had just witnessed. Fred, the strongest of the three, still had tears in his eyes, but was strong enough to guide the two women in his life to his vehicle, where he drove back to Missy's house. Oh, it's terrible out here tonight, Missy responded to the stormy conditions while sitting in the back seat of Fred's vehicle. Meanwhile, Fred tried to navigate the narrow streets of Flint. As the rain smashed against the window shield, the wipers weren't very successful in keeping the water from accumulating, preventing him from having a clear view of the road. He did see trees swaying back and forth on both sides of the road, while branches and leaves dotted his path. It was a long and bitter trip for all of them. It took a while for Fred to get to Missy's house because it was necessary to reduce his speed down to almost a crawl. They just sat there as they rode along the narrow streets of Flint. After a while, they all finally made it back to Missy's house. With the storm still raging, they all stayed in the vehicle, however, waiting and hoping that soon things would calm down. But it had become evident that the weather would not get any better anytime soon. They just sat there, listening to all the rain, wind, and thunder. Missy then said to Fred, now in her driveway, hey, everybody, let's get out of here and make a run for it when we stop. It's no telling how long this weather is going to carry on like this. Then Missy continued to say, not being very positive in her speech, okay, now, let's get going. We can dry off once we get inside. Everyone agreed with Missy, but they did wait another minute or two, hoping against hope that things might get better weather-wise once they stepped outside. But they knew the chances were great that they would soon be exposed to the elements. They knew they had to brace themselves for what they were about to face, a drenching. It was raining so hard. Finally, they all gave in, and that's when Missy opened the car door to make a run for it, and all the others followed suit. They all made a mad rush to the front porch with Missy leading the charge. Maggie stumbled and fell on the way, but with the help of Fred, was able to get back up and continue walking. Finally, now at least they were on the porch, not exposed directly to all the rain and wind. But while they were there, they still felt the effects of the storm. As they all were now safely on the porch and not exposed to the elements directly, they could still feel the mist of the chilling rain and hear the haunting sound of that howling wind. A wind and rain that would not let up. It was just a miserable day, weatherwise. Are you all right, Meg? Fred asked in response to her falling moments earlier. I'm fine, Fred, Maggie replied, while trying the best she could to dry off. It took a while for Missy to find her key, but she did find it after searching for it in her purse. She then immediately opened the front door and rushed inside. Maggie and Fred were on her heels as Maggie said, "Come on, Fred, we're almost inside." After everyone were safely inside, the door closed. Suddenly, they all were sheltered from the raging weather that was going on outside, only hearing the faint beating of raindrops on the sides of the building, and the occasional roar of thunder gave evidence that the storm would not end anytime soon. After the day's events, it would be some time before they would fall into slumber. They did allow themselves a brief moment of privacy as Fred and Maggie went into her room, while Mincy went upstairs to where she and Matthew slept. Everyone would change into dry garments and come together again in the living room before they would retire for good for the night. So they didn't go straight to bed. They decided to stay up a little longer before hitting the sack. They just sat around talking about the events of the day and how they would be affected moving forward into the future. Yes, they just sat there conversing with one another, although there were periods where they were content to just listen to the raging weather going on outside and on Matthew, who they had left at the hospital. Let's take a break, and we'll be right back. Welcome back. After some discussion among themselves, Mincy, Maggie, and Fred finally retired for the night after spending some time with Matthew earlier at the hospital. They had no problem falling asleep, despite the continuing rage of the wind and rain outside. The next morning, Maggie and Fred didn't get up until later in the morning. That wasn't the case for Mincy, who honored her promise to Matthew that she would see him that day. She was intent on keeping that promise. Without disturbing Maggie and Fred, Missy slipped out of the house and was on her way to the hospital to see Matthew. As Missy drove to the hospital, the weather that occurred the previous night was long gone. When she arrived there, she went straight to see her husband, but unfortunately found that he was sound asleep. The snore that he had meant that he would not be waking up anytime soon. Not wanting to wake him up, she decided to return home and come back the following day. She hoped that the doctor would allow for Matthew to come home at that time. The following day, Missy did return to the hospital, and after several tests, hours of waiting, and special instructions, Matthew was released from the hospital and was brought home by Missy. Maggie and Fred, who remembered that Missy had told Matthew she would return to see him, remained at the house and waited there for Missy to return home with Matthew. Maggie was intent on giving her father the support she felt that he needed while still in Flint. In the days ahead, Maggie would be a road warrior going back and forth from Central Heights south of Chicago to Flint to help give her father the attention she felt he needed. After she learned about her father's condition, Maggie had called her niece Mary to take over the daycare center until her return. As far as Fred, whenever he was away at business meetings, he would delegate his authority at MEFCO to one of his trusted subordinates. After Matthew's return home, both Maggie and Fred greeted and talked with him for much of the afternoon. They would stay with Mincy and Matthew for a few days, then travel back to Central Heights to resume their jobs later that week. It would be a long road for Mincy in her new life as caretaker of her husband. Matthew himself fully expected to be up and going again in a few days. He was not given the grim prognosis that Mincy and the others had received back at the hospital 2 days earlier. In a week, Dr. Taylor would give them the final verdict on Matthew's long-term condition. Mincy feared that Matthew would have to be restricted to a wheelchair for the rest of his life because of his paralysis. The extra-large area that Mincy had in the front seat of their vehicle made it easier for Matthew to get into and out of his new wheelchair with Mincy's assistance. Still, it was something that both Mincy and Matthew would have to adjust to, not to mention Maggie's challenge of adapting to her father's new life as a paraplegic. "Daddy, we'll be here as much as we can as you get adjusted to your wheelchair," Maggie told her father. But Matthew replied confidently, "Maggie, you'll see me walking again. I won't need this chair for long. I guarantee that." We'll take another break, and we'll be right back. Welcome back. As Maggie listened to her father, she admired the assurance that he displayed despite his infirmity. But at the time, she knew, that is, she believed in her heart, that Matthew would be bound to that wheelchair forever. The doctors gave little hope of him walking again, but what hope they had was left to their professional examination of him, which would be given in a few days. Matthew would have available to him the latest in all the modern technology to relieve him of his condition. Otherwise, at the very least, doctors would offer Mincy conclusive evidence regarding the chances of him walking again. Matthew's final prognosis would be given to Mincy as well as to Maggie in about a week. But Maggie gave Matthew even less of a chance to walk again than that. She didn't think her father would ever get out of that wheelchair. After staying with Mincy and Matthew for a few days, Maggie and Fred had returned home to Central Heights. Dr. Taylor would soon give all of them the final verdict on Matthew's chances of recovery, and Mincy, for one, wanted to make sure Maggie was around to give her dad support, regardless of what Dr. Taylor might tell them. As for Fred, his time would be limited in his travel back and forth from Chicago to Flint because of commitments to his position at MEFCO and his aspirations of becoming a successful author. Early the following week, Dr. Taylor called Mincy and set an appointment date on Wednesday of that week to meet with her and her husband to discuss with them his final prognosis. Maggie had talked with her mother by phone every day since she left her parents the previous week and would not miss the chance to hear what Dr. Taylor had to say about her father for anything. Maggie had arranged for her niece, her assistant at the facility, to run the daycare during the time when Matthew was due to return to the hospital to get the final verdict on his condition. At that time, Maggie drove herself back to Flint. Maggie returned to her parents' house on the day they all were supposed to meet with the doctor. On that day, she was met by Matthew at the front door. While in his wheelchair, he opened the door and said, "Great to see you, Maggie. Come on in. I know Fred would be here too, but I understand his work obligations. Hello, Daddy. How are you? Maggie asked. I'm fine, Maggie. Just getting ready to go to the doctor to let him tell me when I'm getting out of this thing, he said, looking down at his wheelchair. Maggie responded, Oh, I see. And oh yeah, Fred won't be making it up here on these trips I take because of his work. But I'll be here, Daddy. You can count on me. Then she asked, Where's Mama? Matthew said, She's in the back doing something. Wait a minute, I'll try to get her. Then he yelled out, Mincy, Mincy, Maggie is here. Come on out. Matthew returned his attention to Maggie and affirmed how thrilled he was to see her. I know you're busy with your daycare business and everything down there in Chicago. I'm just so glad you're caring about me the way you do. I just don't know what I would do without you and your mother, he explained. With those words, tears welled up in Maggie's eyes as the prospect of what Dr. Taylor would tell them later that day hung in her mind. She thought to herself, Be strong, be strong. Then she said to her father, Well, Daddy, you mentioned to me earlier coming from Chicago, but you do know that we actually live in Central Heights now, a little bit south of Chicago. And it's right off the interstate, so it's not a bad drive from where we live. But you know what, Daddy? Don't worry about that, because sometimes we just say we live in Chicago when we're away from the area, me and Fred. At about that time, Missy walked into the room. Hello, Maggie. Seems like I just finished talking with you. Missy said, referring to the time she had spent with her over the phone while she was still at home in Central Heights. They had called each other at least once every day since Maggie and Fred were last at her parents' house the previous week. After lunch was prepared by Missy, they all ate and then were ready to go to the hospital to see Dr. Taylor. The trip was a brief one, and they arrived in his office by mid-afternoon. Only a short time passed when Dr. Taylor came out and spoke to them. How are you all doing today? He asked both Missy and Maggie. Then the doctor spoke to Matthew. And you, sir, Mr. Downs, how are you doing? I'm doing all right, doctor. I'm just ready to get out of this wheelchair, Matthew replied. Before the doctor could respond to Matthew's statement, Missy spoke up. We're all fine, but Dr. Taylor, you know why we're here. Of course, Dr. Taylor responded. Then he stepped up closer to Missy and said, Mrs. Downs, could I see you alone in my office for a moment? We're only following hospital protocol by speaking to only one member of the family when discussing certain issues involving our patients. We'd like to see you even in the absence of the patient, he went on to explain. Then the doctor went over to apologize to Matthew for not inviting him into the room. Sorry, Mr. Downs, but we'll be out shortly. Missy replied, Yeah, sure, doctor. Then she thought, there's got to be a better reason for not inviting all of us in that room to receive such important information. Missy then turned toward Maggie as if to say what she was thinking, then decided not to utter those words. So she dismissed those thoughts and proceeded to follow Dr. Taylor to his office. Meanwhile, Maggie and Matthew waited nervously outside in the lobby. 5 minutes had gone by when Maggie heard her mother weep like she had never heard her cry before. Of course, Matthew heard the same cry. Right then and there, they knew that the news the doctor gave Maggie's mother, Matthew's wife, was not good. We'll be back to finish the show after a break. Welcome back. When Dr. Taylor and Missy emerged from the room to meet Maggie and Matthew, without saying a word, mother and daughter just held each other. By that time, Maggie was crying profusely. Meanwhile, Matthew sensed what the final prognosis would be, and he knew that it would not be good. Nonetheless, he remained strong throughout the whole ordeal and showed no emotion. After hugging her daughter tightly, Missy released her grip and just held Maggie's hand. With her other arm, she clung to Matthew's shoulder tightly as he sat in his wheelchair. Still, without any words being spoken, the actions of all of them spoke volumes, and that was a concern they all had, including Matthew, about his condition. Missy just stood there, shaking her head and refusing to look her daughter and husband in their eyes. Meanwhile, Dr. Taylor took the opportunity to tell Maggie and Matthew the news that Missy had already been told. "I'm sorry to say, Mr. Downs, that you will need a wheelchair indefinitely. We found your paralysis to be irreversible." With that confirmation, Missy and Maggie cried even more. Dr. Taylor tried to comfort them without much success. In the meantime, Matthew looked stoically off into the distance, still not showing any signs of emotion. The three of them just held each other for a long while. Well, that's all for today. In coming episodes, we will find out what life will be like for Matthew as he goes into the future bound to a wheelchair. Yes, he will need all the faith he can muster in order to move forward with confidence and determination, a determination to fulfill his life's purpose, despite his adversity. Matthew would lay hold of a faith that promises he would walk again. Unfortunately, because of the condition Maggie saw in her father, bound to a wheelchair, she could not see what her father saw, and that was himself walking again. Yes, Matthew knew from personal experience what it means when the scripture says, "We walk by faith and not by sight." Well, that's all for today. In closing, I'd like to say, and would like for you to remember, that whatever you may be going through, whether good or bad, just keep in mind that there's always more good things coming your way. We'll see you the next time.